not Shalom. I have a message I'm going to give today with everything that's going on in the world. Something to ask yourself as Passover is right here upon us. The name of the message is called, Have You Been Tested for the Virus? Have you been tested for the virus? And there's testing centers that are going up all over the world. And many people are panicking because they have symptoms, but they can't get the test. In most countries, it's very, very difficult, I guess, unless you get to a hospital. And then the symptoms are so bad, it's too late because you're already infected. You already have to go in the hospital. In USA Babylon, where they say they're doing better than any country in the world as far as testing goes, they're still only testing a couple of hundred thousand people out of 330 million people. So people are panicking because they're starting to have some of these symptoms and they can't get tested and they want to see if they're infected with this virus. However, I want to talk today because there's a worse virus out there than the COVID-19. And I want to ask you, have you been tested for that virus? And I'm going to go over today the symptoms of that virus. And I'm going to list 6 symptoms to check and see if you have been infected with the virus of the Laodicean spirit. Now, some symptoms may start slow, but they'll accelerate quickly if you don't catch them. So I really think, as terrible as this is, and this is probably on a worldwide scale the worst thing that the world has seen in at least 100 years. Nobody knows where it's going to end, so it could be even longer than that. And even if the symptoms subside soon, they could come back next year. They think it'll come back and even stronger. So this is a horrible thing. But on the positive side of it, sometimes it's hard to really understand something if you haven't lived through it. You know, if I would have 6 months ago given a message on, you know, the Spanish flu of 1918 and what it did and how it affected people, I mean, I'm sure most people probably never studied it, and maybe people would look at it and say, wow, that's something, and boy, this happened, and boy, I never realized all those people got sick and died. But when you're living through a situation now where you're seeing worldwide lockdowns, worldwide martial law, worldwide quarantines, travel restrictions, movement of people being limited, I think we can understand these kind of messages in a way we couldn't before. That's why I'm trying to take the blessing of living through the situation to help us to understand in a spiritual way that there's much worse viruses, spiritual viruses. And I guess because physically a spiritual virus doesn't affect your body in the same way a physical virus does, or it could, you know, depending on what that spiritual sickness is. But I want us to really look in our hearts and in our minds and today to see, because as Passover is right upon us, we don't want to take those symbols unworthily. And we want to see, because, you know, if you're living in the Laodicean era, and I talk a lot about this with the normalcy bias, the fact that everybody is the same way, people take it that it's normal. They take it that, well, you know, if everyone's infected, then I guess I'm not infected. And you can't look at it that way. You have to be looking at it differently at this point, because if you're seeing, and there, like I said, I'm going to go through 6 symptoms here, but in the Laodicean era, most people in the world are Laodiceans, and probably half the people that claim to be believers are. So it's a virus that's infected not only the world, it's infected Yahweh's people. And it's something that if we have any of these symptoms of Laodiceanism, we really need to work on getting rid of them. So the first symptom of the Laodicean virus is, are you separated from the body and refuse to follow any leadership? So it's kind of interesting, right? Because we've been talking about quarantining, right? So there is a separation we're to do from baptism. From baptism, I went over this in that message, you know, that we are to be separated from the world. We are to be separated and quarantined from sin. But we're not to be separated from the leadership of Yahweh in the body of Messiah. So the first symptom of a Laodiceanism is if you're separated from the body. Proverbs 18:1, we've gone over this before in other messages. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. So here it is that the first, you know, like they say with the coronavirus, that one of the first signs is if you have a dry cough, right? You know, you have to watch, because if you have a dry cough, you know, maybe runny nose coming or fever, that could be the first telltale symptom. Dry cough, fever, runny nose, that you might have this virus. Well, the first telltale symptom that you have the virus of the Laodicean spirit is if you've ever said the saying, "I'll never follow a man." If you said that, that's a real clear sign you're probably infected with the Laodicean virus. Because, like I said, if you look in Scripture, Yahweh did not have to do this plan of salvation the way he did, right? But even from the beginning, if you look in the Garden of Eden, right, before sin even entered, what was Yahweh working with? He was working with one man. He created human beings, right? We said that in Genesis 1. He created them, male and female. They were out in the world, right? They were neutral. They weren't evil and they weren't good because they didn't have the spirit of Yahweh yet. They only had the spirit of life, the spirit of man. And he took one man from that society, Ha-Adam, the man, Adam, and he was going to train that man, and then he was going to send that man back out to train the other people. So when you look in Scripture, Yahweh could have did it another way. Why didn't he just start with Yeshua in the kingdom, right? Wouldn't it have been so much easier if we forgot these last 6,000 years and Yahweh just created human beings, and in Jerusalem was his spiritual, you know, sanctuary, and Yeshua was there reigning forever, and we would have never had to go through this. But what people don't understand is because we're made in Yahweh's image, right? You know, because we look like him, like he does, we have noses and eyes and mouths, but we have to grow into his likeness. Because the fact if we're going to be like him, he has free will and we also have free will. So he couldn't have done it that way because it would have been a lot worse. He had to test us first to see what we would do with our free will. So he used Adam to start. That didn't work so great. And then he used Noah, was one man, right, in Genesis 6. Then he used Abraham, who was one man, and then Isaac and Jacob. And then as he works through, you know, we come to Judah and King David was one man that the covenant was made through. And on and on and on, Yeshua or Yahweh worked through human beings. It's just the way he chose to do it. And like it talks about in Hebrews, the second chapter, that Yeshua came as a man, as a human being, so that he would understand what we go through as human beings, because Yeshua wasn't a human being. He was Elohim. So he came in the flesh to understand what we go through, but he was a human being. He was a man. He was a man. So when people say, "I'll never follow a man," what they're basically doing is what Satan said, right? In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, I'm not going to go there, but "I will ascend to heaven. I will be like the Most High. I'm not ever going to follow Elohim. I'm only going to follow myself." And that's, like I said, it's the first telltale sign that you're infected with the Laodicean spirit. Because the hypocrisy of these people who say they'll never follow a man is they follow themselves. They follow themselves. They, like I said, they'll quarantine themselves from Yahweh's leadership and the people in the congregation, but they don't quarantine themselves from the world. 2 Peter 2 and verse 13. 2 Peter 2 and verse 13 says, "Then submit yourself to all human authority for the sake of the Almighty, whether to a king because of their supreme power, or to judges because by them officers are sent for the punishment of offenders and for the praise of them that do well. Because so is the will of Elohim, so that by doing good you may silence the ignorance of foolish men who know not Elohim. Act as free men, and not like men who use their liberty as a cloak for their wickedness, but as the servants of Elohim." So again, you know what? Yahweh made the world consisting of human beings. And he put man over woman, and that's why men were the leaders, and the men were to be the mayors and the governors and the kings and the head of state. And right here in other scriptures too, you can go to Romans 13. I'm not going to go there, but it's very clear. We are to follow human government, you know, unless it violates the word of Yahweh. We are to follow government. So, and if we could follow human government, if we could follow the policemen and we can follow our teachers at school and we can follow our bosses at work, then why on earth wouldn't we follow the elders that Yahweh has put in place and Yeshua has put in place? That, like we said, I'm not going to go to Ephesians 4, but Yeshua handpicked these people. So all it is a cunning trick applied by these Laodicean people to try to say, I'll never follow a man, when in essence they are following a man. They're not following multiple men. They won't follow all the leaders of Yahweh, but they will follow a man, and that man is themselves. It's not Yahweh. It's not Yeshua, because Yeshua clearly said, if they followed me, they'll follow you. So if they're not following the leaders who Yeshua put there, then they're certainly not following Yeshua. Last scripture on this first symptom, because it's an important one, is 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, because in the end time, remember, we went over this not too long ago, the first sign that Yeshua told them of the end, you know, to watch for deception. And here we see, but false prophets, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, but false prophets were also among the people, as also false teachers will be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and denying the masters brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And we're living it. We're seeing it, just like we're living this virus and seeing it. And by covetousness, with well-turned words, they will use you for gain, for whom judgment from the very beginning has not ceased, and their destruction is always active, right? So again, some of these people are selling things. They'll tell you never follow a man, but they're writing and selling all kinds of books and DVDs and asking for money and all kinds of other stuff. If we drop down to verse 18, he says, for while they speak astonishing words of vanity, they seduce with obscene lusts of the flesh them who have almost abandoned these that walk in error, while promising to them freedom, right? Don't follow a man, only go yourself. While promising to them freedom, though themselves being slaves of corruption, for man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him. For if when they have escaped the pollutions of the world by the knowledge of our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua the Messiah, they become again entangled in the very same things and are overcome by them, their latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So again, the wheat and the tares, and we know it. Probably 50% of the people, even in the congregation of Yeshua, are tares, if you look at the different things. But the interesting part is, like I said, where these people cannot follow any type of authority, you know, at the same rate, you know, they'll start by telling you, don't follow a man and be on your own. And they'll play just like Satan, they'll play into the worst part of your human nature. Because human nature, right, it talks about in Romans the 8th chapter, it's enmity, it's hatred toward the Torah of Yahweh. It's not subject to it and it can't be subject to it. So our human nature, from the Garden of Eden, from Adam and Eve sinning, what happened? The human nature was actually changed. And we don't have the same nature that was created in man at creation. Our nature literally has been changed. And through 6,000 years of DNA changing, just like now, what did they say? Because of all the children on those iPods and all those things and bending their neck to it, they're literally growing horns in the back of their head. And if time went on, that would be part, it is part of their DNA now, but literally horns would be coming up if we went on long enough that everyone would have horns. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. By mankind's rejection of Yahweh and rejection of Yahweh's authority, his human nature, the DNA of his human nature has become a human nature of rebellion, of wickedness. 1 Timothy 3, right? We're not going to go there, but what does it say? In the end time, men will be selfish, lovers of self, prideful, all these things. So this is what we have to fight against. This is the virus we're fighting out there in the world. And think about it. If they'll lock down the world and they don't, and lock down all businesses and don't want people leaving their house for a virus that's like the flu, that 99% of the people will actually get better from, how much should we be locking down from the virus of Laodiceanism that it's not 1% will die, as we're going to see here. It's 100%. 100% of people with Laodiceanism, if you don't repent, you'll die. Because sin leads to death, as we're going to see as we come here. So these people that are telling you, they're promising freedom, you know, by not being part of any kind of organized congregation, not being part of Yeshua's body, where how else can you serve? How else can you serve and love one another unless you're subservient to each other? But yet at the same time, they're making websites, and then they're making their own rules. And these people that are putting it together are just as selfish and prideful, and they only want to follow themselves. So some of them even seem like nice people when you meet them, right? They set up feast sites and all this stuff. But what are the feast sites based on? Their rules, right? So what a contradiction. They're telling you not to follow a man, but then they set up a feast site and they're having their rules, right? They're telling you what you should wear and what you should do and don't bring this and don't do that and all their own rules. So in the end of the day, like I said, it's not only satanically inspired, but it simply isn't true. Everybody is following somebody. The only problem is the Laodicean is following himself. And that's what I say with Satan. Satan doesn't require you to follow all his rules. You know the only thing Satan wants you to do? He wants you to consistently break one of the commandments because he knows that will lead to eternal death. That's all he cares about. So he doesn't have a lot of rules. It's the opposite. He knows your human nature. And all he wants you to do is follow. That's what they say in the world, right? Whatever feels good, do it, right? Follow your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So these are all satanically inspired statements that Satan is inspiring the world to put in you. And we do. We do have to quarantine ourselves from the world. But we don't quarantine ourselves from the body of Messiah and the leadership that Yahweh put in place. There always has to be leadership. There always has to be authority. And when there's not, there's chaos. And we see it throughout all time. We see it when Moses, right? Remember when Moses was getting ready, when Yahweh said, you're not going into the promised land. Get yourself ready. You know, he was going to bury him. We've been there many times over there in Mount Nebo. Moses is buried right below it. But what did Moses say? Because he was a true shepherd. Let me ordain Yehoshua, the son of Nun, so that the people are not without leadership. That's what he said, and Yahweh allowed it. The same way that, like I said, Yeshua, if he only came to earth to forgive sin, he could have did that in 3 days and three nights. That was the prophecy was. But no, he spent a 2 to 3 year ministry. Why? Because he was training men in leadership. He ordained 12 men who ordained others who ordained others. And he made sure that that line of ordination has never been broken for 2,000 years. And he kept his original doctrine and he kept his leadership in his congregation. Because we know without leadership, the people perish, right? So that's the first symptom, and it's a big one. And to be honest, to the ones who have the Laodicean spirit, I don't think they'll ever see that. I don't think if they listen to a message like this, it's going to change them. But I want the people of Yahweh to understand that. So when you hear that Laodicean spirit trying to tempt you and trying to infect you with this disease, that you'll know it right away and you won't listen to another word. So the minute you hear somebody say that, I'll never follow man, run in the other direction. Because it is airborne. This is an airborne disease. It's airborne by the words, the false words and the infection of false doctrine that they're trying to bring. So when you see that airborne disease and somebody's saying that, run in the other direction. Number two, the second symptom is that the Laodicean has not separated from the world. So that's the second symptom. If you haven't separated from the world, wow. It could be another disease too, but you're on the path to the disease of Laodiceanism. Jacob 1 and verse 27 says, pure and holy, right? Pure and sanctified, pure and Kodesh service before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it's twofold here, right? This is pure and this is Kodesh. Set apart holy service before Yahweh and the Father is to help the most destitute people, the orphan and the widow, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Okay? Unspotted from the world. So the Laodicean, though, because they're not committed to anything, and they're always justifying why it's okay. And that's the problem. You know, as you go through some of these things, right? And we talk about it, whether it's, like I said, iPhones and Facebook, endless hours of internet searches, social media, worldly movies, worldly music, you know, all these things of the world. Because who is the God of this world? It's not Yahweh Elohim. It's not Yeshua Messiah. The God of this world is Satan the devil. He has created this system. And, you know, it's not a coincidence. We know it in 1945 when the United Nations started. It was satanically inspired. We know that it's the end time beast power in some form or another. And we know in 1945, Satan also created the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, all of these things because he had to fund his New World Order. And then he created commercial Babylon through the country of America, Babylon. And all of the things and the technologies that have been created from that time, and not that the technology itself is evil, but the use of most of it is evil. You know, the internet could be a great thing, right? Especially now as the world is in quarantine, right? You could still hear messages like this all the time. But anything that mankind creates, it's not to bring out the word of Yahweh. That's not Satan's intention in creating the internet. His intention was to infect people. To infect them with what? To infect them with all these evil things that are out there, you know. And it's interesting because in an article that was just out, they said, what are people doing with their time, you know, now that, you know, everything's locked down and people aren't even working? And I was thinking, like I said, my hope, I mentioned this the other time in the Bible study, my hope would be, wow, as families are together more, that it's going to strengthen them, that fathers would be getting jealous that, wow, what am I doing? I've been working all this time and I haven't been with my family, that mothers that are out there with careers are going to second think and think, wow, you know what? I want to stay home and homeschool. Well, no, that's not what it is. They said that the two things that people are doing since they're home is that alcoholism has gone up, alcohol consumption, 70%, and pornography on the internet has gone up about 70%. So don't tell me that people are good and human nature is good and all they need is a crisis to come together. That's not true. It's not true. What the world has to give you out there with all this stuff is only evil. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So people aren't going to tell you, Satan's not going to tell you how evil the world is. He's not going to tell you how evil the internet is. Where, like I said, I remember when I was growing up as a boy, I think I was 10 years old when gambling became legal in the United States in two places, Atlantic City and in Las Vegas. I think Las Vegas actually even had it before there. It was Atlantic City became legal at that point, though. And that was it. So as bad as it was, at least it was limited, you know, because if somebody sometime in a year or 2 or 3 years can travel there on a vacation and go there and gamble, now there are literally millions and millions and millions gambling sites everywhere. You can gamble from your home. You can gamble on absolutely everything. Absolutely everything they have gambling. You know, how long this will happen, how long that will happen. Not only gambling on the outcome of a game, but gambling on the toss of the coin. Who will first get to receive the ball? So, like I said, you have pornography, you have gambling, you have all these evil dating sites and all this bad stuff that's everywhere on the internet. And yet, to the Laodicean, he doesn't want to see it. To the Laodicean, there's always a reason why. You know, like I said, you know, people will say the only reason they have an iPhone is because they put the Bible on the iPhone, you know. And really, come on. Because you could have a device, even if it's an iPhone, if it's just for the Bible, then why do you have to have it connected to the internet? You don't need to connect it to the internet. So the Laodicean will justify. The Laodicean doesn't repent, he justifies, which is part of this not separating from the world. So it's bad enough to be part of the world and to be contrary to all these things. And like I said, do we realize how contrary this world is to Yahweh? And I mean, I know it. I've given sermons, even I gave a sermon a few months back something, I forget what it was called, but showing how Satan is literally the god of this world, you know, that this worldly system is not of Yahweh. But it really hit me with this current situation now with lockdown, because realizing to people in the world how much they're panicking. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, the United States is decided they have to open up again, because people just won't do it. They won't do it. They can't do it. It's almost like an addicted person that's addicted to cigarettes or addicted to drugs. Sometimes they even want to and they just can't. They're so addicted they can't do it. And in many parts of the world, you know, people have been in lockdown. You know, if you go to third world countries, if the government comes and says, don't leave your house, people won't leave your house. But in Babylon, because this spirit, this Laodicean spirit is so prevalent, that people will not listen because they can't. They literally just can't. They're so infected with selfishness and all the Laodicean symptoms that they just can't do it. And that's why I said, you know, during this time, I'm thinking, wow, how much of this evil world, it just has nothing to do with the kingdom of Yahweh. So, you know, like I said, for many of Yahweh's people, especially those living in the communities, life really isn't much different, because you're working in the community, you're doing all the things in the community, you know, you're fellowshipping in the community. But if your life is totally in the world, then wow. And that's one way to look at it. If this shutdown, you know, has affected you tremendously, then you really have to think, how many things are in your life that really shouldn't be there? How many things are really in your life that shouldn't be there? So, number two, symptom, that the Laodicean has not separated from the world. Number three, the third symptom is that the Laodicean can't think of anything to repent of. So like I said, in a general sense, they'll ask Yahweh for forgiveness. You know, forgive me, dear Father, for anything that I might have done. But they don't have anything specific. They can't look specifically. They can't think of anything to repent of. Revelation 3 and verse 17 says, because you say, I am rich, and I am made rich, and I have need of nothing. And do you not know that you are miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked? So the Laodicean says they have need of nothing, right? They didn't do anything wrong. Sure, of course, everybody sins. You know, if that's what you mean. So like if you go up to a Laodicean and you tell them, you know, have you repented this Passover? What are you talking about? What are you accusing me of? You know, no, not accusing you of anything. Have you looked in your heart and you see what you have to repent of? Well, why are you saying I have to repent of something? Well, we're all sinners. Yes. And yep, I pray every day to Yahweh and say, Father, please forgive me. But they can't think. If you ask them, name me three things that you need to repent of, they can't do it. They can't do it. So, you know, when we're looking out there in the world today, things like pride, things like covetousness, things of a lustful spirit, all these different things, anger, you know, being unappreciative is a sin. You know, when Yahweh does so much for us as his people, and we're living where we're not only aren't we saying thank you, Yahweh, every other word out of our mouth, but we're constantly grumbling, you know. That was the thing where we talked about this with the congregation in the wilderness, right? The Israelites in the wilderness. The worst thing they did was the grumbling spirit. Because you can't say you're thankful to Yahweh on one hand, and then on the other hand be complaining about everything. And what people complain about a lot of times is the most smallest, stupidest little things that don't even mean anything anyway. So the Laodicean has nothing to repent of. 2 Corinthians 4:4. To those whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world, Satan, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. To those whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world. And this is what it is. Because, yeah, people will say it, you know, but Yahweh's no fool, right? Yahweh, you could kid yourself, you can kid other people, but you can't kid Yahweh, you can't fool Yahweh. And at the end of the day, it's evident either you are thankful or you're grumbling. It's one or the other. You can't, like it says, you can't with one side of the mouth be saying, oh, thank you, Yahweh, you're so wonderful, and I thank you for all these things. And the other side of your mouth, like, oh, I'm not so happy with dinner today. We have to eat this again? Oh, this and that, I'm not getting enough of this. I'm not getting enough of that. Oh, people aren't, giving me this. Like I said, the people come together. Do you think he's mad at me? Look how he said hello to me, or he didn't say hello to me, or he said hello too little, or he said hello too loud, or all these things of people thinking about, and all it's showing, it's not a spirit of contentment. And with Yahweh, we should have that spirit of contentment. If there's anybody out there in the world today, because I can't expect the world to have a spirit of contentment, because these things that are coming now are not coincidences. They're coming on purpose, because it's people are reaping what they're sowing. The world is reaping what they're sowing. But the people of Yahweh should have contentment. There should be nothing else in our life that we need except enduring to the end and waiting until the kingdom comes and getting our reward. That should be what it is. So, like I said, to the Laodicean, he's not thinking if he needs to change on pride. He's not thinking, do I need to be kinder to people? Should my words be kinder? Am I judging? Am I always, falsely accusing somebody? He can't think of that. Because he's only thinking what everyone else is doing wrong, and not him, and he's blinded by Satan. John 9, in verse 39. John 9, in verse 39. And Yeshua said, I came into the world for judgment, that the ones not seeing may see, and the ones seeing may become blind. Wow, that's really a... important scripture there, and powerful scripture, that Yeshua said he came for judgment, right? So we're not to judge. We are to discern between right and wrong, but we're not to judge, but he is to judge. He's the judge of the whole world. And look what he says. He came for judgment that the ones not seeing may see. And he's not talking about just healing the physical eyes of the blind. He did do that to prove his authority, same way, like I said, in Papua New Guinea, the two people that were blind were healed. But he didn't come just for that. It was to show his authority. He came to heal the spiritual blind. He came to heal. And that's why the tax collector and the prostitute and the sinner who saw their state, they weren't sitting there saying, I can't think of a sin. There's a lot of sins they could think of. But at the same rate, they were crying with repentance because they were changing. And that's what Passover is all about. So he says he came that the ones not seeing may see, and the one seeing may become blind, right? Who's he talking about? He's talking about the pious, the self-righteous, that think they have nothing to repent of, that are blind. And then he said, and those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said, are we also blind? The pious, the self-righteous trying to say, are you trying to say we're blind? And look at his answer. And Yeshua said to them, if you were only blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, because of this your sin is unremovable. So the sin of self-righteousness, it's a stench in Yahweh's nose, because no human being is righteous. And instead of always trying to look at the fault and the plank in somebody else's eye, Passover is about taking looking at the speck in somebody else's eye. Passover is about taking the plank out of our own eye. So symptom number 3 of the Laodicean virus is the Laodicean can't think of anything to repent of. Number 4, the fourth symptom of the Laodicean virus is that the Laodicean can't take correction. The Laodicean can't take correction. So it could be the littlest thing or the biggest thing, they just can't. And I remember when I first came into the truth, things were so different, because no matter what the elder would say to you, and there were good elders and there were bad elders like anything else, and there were some elders that I really, really, I look up to today and I admire them because they were examples to me when I came into the truth as a young man, and they really helped me. And then there were other people that were elders that I tried to avoid because I saw that they were hypocrites. I saw they didn't live. But even so, man, if they said something to me, that was it. I would never, ever, ever think to question an elder of Yahweh, and particularly if he's giving me correction, no matter whether he said it in a loving way or not loving way, it doesn't make a difference. I needed the correction because the correction is coming from Yahweh. It's not coming from the elder. So the wise person is thankful for correction. It's the fool who can't take correction. But the Laodicean, because he doesn't need anything. So of course he can't take correction. So you're trying to give him something that's going to help him. And they're looking at it as, get back from me. I don't need this. I don't need your correction. I don't need a man. I don't have to follow anybody. I'm perfect. That's the Laodicean. And that's the point of it. The Laodicean cannot take correction, period. They get offended and then they turn it on you. Well, you think you're perfect. But nobody said anything about being perfect. You know, it's the job of the elder to give the correction and hopefully in a loving way. But the Laodicean, no matter what, no matter how you do it, no matter how kind and nice, no matter how you put it in a way, because it's the same with Yeshua. We just saw Yeshua gave correction to the Pharisees. And did they take it? No, they didn't take it. They pompously looked. How dare you try to correct me? So the Laodicean simply cannot take correction. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Proverbs 8 and verse 1 says, does not wisdom call? And does not understanding speak? So this is, again, it's a metaphor on wisdom. But then Yahweh speaks to us in it. She stands in the top of high places, by the wayside, in the houses of the paths. Beside the gates, at the mouth of the city, at the door, she cries, I call to you, O men, and my voice is to the sons of men. Understand wisdom, simple ones, and fools, be of an understanding heart. So wisdom is the thing. And what is wisdom? It's proverb, the art of skillful living. And this is why, like I said, it is a friend who corrects you. It is a friend who loves you, just like parents. You know, parents have to correct their children. And the children have to look at that. When you're younger, you don't understand it. But as you get older, you love your parent because he actually took the time to correct you. Because if the parent doesn't correct the child, then the child's going to grow up and be worse off than before. So it's the same thing now. Because as adults, what are we but big children? And there should never be a point where we can't take correction as adults, because we all need the correction. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is simply taking correction and applying it. Drop down to verse 32. And now listen to me, O sons, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Still wisdom speaking here. Hear instruction and be wise and do not refuse it. Blessed is the man listening to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and he shall obtain favor from Yahweh. But he who sins against me does violence to his own soul. All who hate me love death, right? Because the wages of sin is death. So if you're not correctable, you're going to die. It's that simple. And that's why there's times where even when I knew that somebody would not accept the correction, I knew according to Ezekiel 33, if you don't give that correction, you're accountable. So it's not just a matter of saying, well, this person isn't going to listen. I'm not going to give it. No, because what does it say to the watchman? That if you don't give that correction and you know it, then you will be accountable for that person's death. But if you give the correction and they don't listen to it, then the blood is not on your own hands. So it doesn't matter whether they accept it or not. What matters is we have the responsibility out of love. It's love to share with people. But the Laodicean, don't think they're going to take it for a minute and they'll get very offended at it. Proverbs 12 and verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is like a brute animal. Right? He who hates correction is like a brute animal. So are we correctable? Are we willing to listen to correction and change? Because that's what it's about. It's about we're doing something that we don't see. And that's why I keep praying, telling all of us, we need to be praying to Yahweh, show us the sins that we don't even know we're doing. Well, he doesn't always just show it to you in a dream or a vision. Many times he's showing it through somebody else. So you can't pray to Yahweh and say, show me my hidden sins. And then when somebody comes and shares something that Yahweh's shown them, then you're going to be offended and rejected and not listening to them. So that's what it says. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is like a brute animal. Drop down to verse 15. The way of a fool is upright in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. The way of a fool is upright in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. So this is what happens. This is why dictators fall. You know, they say during the war with the first Gulf War with Saddam Hussein, that if they came and told him bad news, the person would be killed. So they kept telling them, no, we're winning the war. We're doing this. And it was a joke behind the scenes because he's thinking that they're really winning. But that's the way, because he couldn't take correction. He couldn't listen. And we know the way that ended. The way of a fool is upright in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. And that's why in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. In the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. And, you know, I have my counsel from Jerusalem, the five-man council that we handle things. But also, you know, I have many people I counsel with, many elders that I do things with. Whenever we're doing something in the congregation, I make committees and now we're starting a new task force for communities. You know, we're going to make a council for communities, because in the multitude of advice and the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. Says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he keeping correction is sensible. A fool despises his father's instruction. So most of the things, when you're correcting someone, you're coming from the Bible anyway. You're showing them things in Scripture. But the fool despises his father's instruction. And that's why it says in Romans 8, like I said, that to the human nature, his mind is hatred toward the word of Yahweh. He can't be subject to it because it's against the very nature that he lives by. And again, you can make all the excuses in the world why you need to be part of the world and why you need to be on WhatsApp and why you need to have all these other things. But you know what? All these things about the world, and the world is fading away. So again, like it says here, you know, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he keeping correction is sensible. It's sensible. Either you are on the side of sanctification in the kingdom of Yahweh, or you're on the side of the world and Satan. And it will affect you. Because like I said, any of these symptoms will bring in that Laodicean spirit. And it may start small, but it will accelerate quickly if you don't catch them. It's that simple. Symptom number 5. Symptom number 5. You have unrepentant sin in your life. Other clear-cut signs. So it goes with not being able to take correction, right? And not being able to think of anything to repent of. So if they can't think of what they need to repent of, then of course they're going to have unrepentant sin in their life. But the Laodicean isn't thinking about that. They don't care. But this will lead to death. So this is a symptom that can kill somebody very easily. Romans 6 and verse 12 says, then do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey it in its lust. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to Yahweh as the one living from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. So it's very interesting. He says, then do not let sin reign in your mortal body. How does sin reign in your body? When you don't repent. When you don't repent, it's just like a virus. If you don't get the vaccine, that virus is going to sit there. And it may go dormant for a while. It's like cancer. Sometimes cancer can come and then it goes dormant, but then it can come back if you don't get rid of it. So you want to make sure you get rid of it. Verse 15 of Romans 6, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the penalty of the Torah, but under grace? Let it not be. But do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves to obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? So, right, like we said, there's the world and there's Yahweh, right? There's being part of the world, there's sanctification. And there's two Elohims out there. One is Satan, the God of this world. One is Yahweh, the Elohim of the kingdom of Yahweh. Which one are you under? Which one are you under? It's very clear. Do you not know that whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? It's one or the other. But thanks be to Yahweh that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So how were we delivered from this virus, you know, of sin, right? Through the form of doctrine given by Yahweh. And where does that doctrine come from? From his elders. It's the same doctrine that's been there for 2,000 years. Yeshua taught the apostles, who taught the other ones, and the Waldenses and the Paulicians and the Albigenses, and the Anabaptists, you know, and the Seventh-day Baptists and the Church of God and the Congregation of Yahweh and Assemblies of Yahweh and so on. So these doctrines that started with Yeshua have come, and this is what saved the people, right? But thanks be to Yahweh, you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. But the Laodicean, remember, the first infection, he's never going to follow man. So, you know, that's like saying, if he's not following a man, then he can't let the doctor into his house who's going to give him the antidote, the vaccine. The Laodicean, he's not going to follow that doctor. You know why? He knows better ways. He knows better ways. He can go on the internet and he can look up on the internet all these cures. And they're saying that today, that there's people that are going on the internet looking up cures for this coronavirus, and they're dying. They're dying. In Iran, hundreds of people died by looking up fake, false cures on the internet. So, okay, right? The Laodicean, because he's not going to follow man. That doctor's not getting in my house. No way. Not going to let him in. And what's going to happen? He's going to die from it. Drop down to verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua Messiah, our Master. The wages of sin is death. So, if you have unrepented sin in your life, you're going to die. And some Laodiceans really don't care. I've talked to some Laodiceans who actually admit they're Laodiceans. They're going to live as long as they could in this life, and they really don't care. You know, they don't care. They're not going to change. They're not going to change, period. Which comes to the last symptom of this deadly virus. And that's that they have no zeal for Yahweh. The Laodicean has no zeal for Yahweh. No zeal for Yahweh. He's not committed to anything. You know, he's half-hearted. In the work of Yahweh, in his prayer and study become a chore in the 5 or 10 minutes a day they might do it. Due to worldly addictions, all blessings of being believers are lost, just quenching the spirit which is left, a little bit of the spirit that's left. Let's go to Revelation 3 and let's see this now. So this is what happens. Just like the physical virus, one of the symptoms of the coronavirus is fatigue. Right? It makes you very fatigued. You're very, very tired that, you know, you can't have any energy to do anything. Right? Well, the Laodicean virus does the same thing. It gives you spiritual fatigue. Spiritual fatigue. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the messenger of the congregation of Laodicean write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the head of the creation of Elohim. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. And like I've said before, when it's a hot day, wow, a glass of cold water. Can you imagine when you're working outside and you're sweating and it's 100 degrees and somebody comes and says, well, you like a glass of water? And you're like, oh boy, do I need a glass of water. And if you bring it to your mouth and it's lukewarm, you'd be like, ugh, you know, what's this? The same way, if it's cold, you know, it's a solar vortex and it's 70 below zero. You know, maybe you're up at the North Pole and you're freezing, right? And you're cold and somebody brings you a nice hot cup of tea. Wow, that's going to taste good to your soul. So hot is good and cold is good, but lukewarm is good for nothing but inducing vomiting. So this is the Laodicean, right? He's lukewarm. The Laodicean, he's neither hot nor cold. He doesn't have any zeal. It doesn't matter to him either way. And how many times has that happened, right? How many times in the congregation where there's something that's really, really serious and you're coming and you have to talk about how serious the situation is, right? Maybe somebody that's bringing a false doctrine, or maybe something that's even in your local area that's there, and a decision has to be made, and there's some brethren that are fervent and saying, no, the word of Yahweh says this. We got to stay to the truth. And then there's other people that are there that are just like, I don't know. Well, maybe. You know, and it's like, that's a Laodicean spirit. Man, you got to be on fire. It can't be you're not sure. It can't be like, well, either way. It's got to be where you're on fire. And that's the last symptom of this deadly virus, is that there's no zeal to Yahweh. For the work of Yahweh, are they doing the Matthew 24 project? Absolutely not. You know why? Because there's always a reason. Well, I know it's a good project in most areas, but in my area, you can't do it. Well, no, all you have to do is put flyers out on Walmart billboards. Well, the Walmart near me is kind of far, and people don't really read our Walmart, you know. And there's always a reason that somebody has why they can't do it, you know. Not over here. Well, this is a rich area. People wouldn't want me putting flyers in the diners, you know. Well, this is a poor area. Nobody would come to get. There's always a reason. But it's the last deadly symptom of the Laodicean virus is there's no zeal for Yahweh. And once you lose that zeal, it's the same way if you think about it in a worldly virus. Once you get fatigue, you know, and if you've ever had fatigue, I know if I've had allergies and I've had different things in my life that have given me major fatigue. Wow, it's hard to spiritually work when your body is physically fatigued. It's very, very hard. But think about it the other way around. Think about to be spiritually fatigued. I'd much rather be physically fatigued. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, that the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I'd rather be that way than say the body is strong, but the spirit is weak. Wow, I wouldn't want that. Because that, all that's going to lead to is more worldliness. More worldliness. So, like I said, study and prayer become a chore. You know, just try to get your 5 or 10 minutes in and get through it because you want to get back to all your worldly stuff. And that's the Laodicean. It's the last symptom of the virus, and it's a really, really bad one because this is the one that totally quenches the spirit of Yahweh. Let me continue here now in verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and I am made rich and I have need of nothing, right? They have need of nothing, so you can't tell them where they're going wrong. And do you not know that you are miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked? They're miserable, right? Because they're not happy. And I've met a lot of these. I know in Israel for years when we had our local congregation there, and I would get quite a few times a year people contacting me saying, I'm coming to Israel and we want to know where you're meeting. And I'd say, well, you know, let's meet with these people first to see where they're coming from. They're not part of our congregation, but they know of us and that's fine if they want to visit. But we've met these people, sometimes families, and they're absolutely miserable. They're all they tell us all the time is they're dying for fellowship. There's so much need fellowship, you know. And yet at the same rate, they'll say they never follow a man. So, you know, you want the fellowship, but you don't want to follow anybody. So you want our people that are being subservient to each other, that are surrendering to each other, and you just want them to use them as some kind of prop for you. That you can tell them about all the things that you want to tell them about Satan and Yeshua, brothers, and this, that doctrine. And I don't believe this, and I don't believe that. And, you know, we had it happen a couple of times. And after a while, after a couple hours of this, our brethren were just exhausted. And that's when the brethren said, please, don't let these people come anymore. You know, because they're just selfish. They're selfish Laodiceans. They don't care about truth. They don't care about nothing except just having somebody to share their wares with. And they're all so selfish. And you want to know something? I said this many, many times. You know, I was a single believer for almost 15 years before I got married. And I said, if you are a lonely single person, you'll be a lonely married person. Because there's not a human being that's going to make you comforted. Right? Yahweh and Yeshua are going to make you comforted. So whether you're by yourself or you're there with 1,000 people, it shouldn't make a difference. We should always want fellowship, but at the same rate, our comfort comes from Yahweh and Yeshua. That's where it comes from. But the Laodicean, nope. He doesn't need nothing. And that's why he's miserable. He's a wanderer because he can't put roots anywhere. And I say, you know what? I'm not saying our congregation is perfect. I'm not saying we have everything right. But you know what I love that we have? Just like the Essenes of the Dead Sea Scroll, we're committed to each other. We're committed to the work of Yahweh. All of us together are working toward a common interest. And that's what makes it great. That we're all working toward that. And we'll help each other. And we pray for each other. And we all know each other, right? And we want to know more about each other so we can pray more for each other. We're not wanderers. We're not selfish wanderers. This week I go to this conference. Next week I'm going to this Messianic conference. This week I'm going to this Sacred Name conference. And then I'm going to go to the feast with these people here. No, we're not wanderers. We don't just wander around from place to place with no aim and no goal. That's what the Laodicean does. We're people of Yahweh that are committed to each other. And they're poor and they're blind, like Yeshua said, and they're naked, they have no covering. They have no covering. So it's their own fault, you know, they'll never follow a man, but they don't realize they're naked. But they will infect other people, and that's the problem, that the Laodicean will infect other people. That's the scary part. So let's go over now in the rest of the time, because there is a cure. There is a cure for Laodiceanism. Unfortunately, there's not a cure yet for the coronavirus. Who knows? They said maybe by next year, one is coming up, or sooner, we'll see. But there is a cure to Laodiceanism, because Laodiceanism has been there not for a year, it's been there for 2,000 years. It's just now in the end time, it's a pandemic. It literally has become a pandemic, because in other times where we were in the Philadelphia era and the Sardis era and the Thyatira era, right? And these different eras that were there, now we're in the Laodicean era. And the Laodiceans have traveled around the world the same way the coronavirus started in one place and then people came by airplanes in other places. The Laodicean spirit, the same thing. So these Laodiceans have traveled in places. They didn't quarantine and now they've infected the world. And we're living in the Laodicean world. So there is a virus, though, that we can take against it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be led astray. Bad companionships ruin good habits. So the first thing you have to do is you have to quarantine yourself against Laodiceans. You have to. Because it's a very contagious disease. And like I said, it's airborne. Their vile words against Yahweh, against his doctrine, against his leadership. And it is an airborne disease that will infect you. So you have to. You have to make sure that you are staying totally quarantined from it. And that's why for years, you know, we had an open feast site for 19 years in Jerusalem. We let people come as guests as long as they didn't cause any disruptions. But we're not doing that anymore. Because in the wilderness, we don't need Laodiceans in the wilderness. You know, we have to watch out because bad companionships will ruin good habits and a Laodicean will infect you. And because the thing is, you will become like the people you're with. You will become like the people you're with. And that's why I've been saying for years, if you can't move to community, you know, try to be around other brethren and certainly only communicate with people that are going to uplift your spiritual life. Because as you see how quick martial law comes, you see how quick borders close. And in the end time, when the word, we haven't seen nothing yet. This is only the beginning of sorrows. When the worst time comes, you want to be with strong people. You don't want to be around a group of Laodiceans that were going to totally rip your heart out and take you down. You want to be around strong people because you will become like the people you're with. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, so also you, since you are zealots of spiritual things, seek to build up the congregation that you may abound. So also, since you are zealots of spiritual things, seek to build up the congregation. So the antidote to Laodiceanism is zealousness, right? That's the symptom that destroys everything else. So what you can do is, as a zealot, if you have the zeal of Yahweh, you can bring that to other people. That is also contagious. The zeal of Yahweh is contagious. So when you go to places and that Holy Spirit is in you and that zeal is in you, people are going to feel it. So you have to, you can bring it. It is contagious. The zeal of Yahweh is the antidote. How involved you are in the work of Yahweh is directly related to how converted you are. I said this before. How involved you are in the work of Yahweh is directly related to how converted you are. And you know what? In the times we're living in now, maybe you can't even leave your house or whatever, but you certainly can pray. You certainly can be praying for the work of Yahweh, be praying for the leadership, be praying for the elders, be praying for the missionaries, be praying for the people that the work is going to, be praying for the people in our congregation that are part of the underground congregation that are living in very hard situations. You know, so there's a lot of prayers that can be coming on. Numbers 25. Because it's extremely important to have zealousness. And I want to give you one example of a story here with Pincus or Phineas to just show you how Yahweh blessed this man for his zealousness with an everlasting covenant of peace. So I'm going to start here in verse 3 of chapter 25. of Numbers. And Israel was joined to Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel. They were joined to Baal Peor, the mixed multitude. We talked about this before, right? How the mixed multitude, the same with Laodiceans. Philadelphians and Laodiceans together, mixed multitude doesn't work. So the mixed multitude, they joined themselves. And Yahweh said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang them up to Yahweh before the sun, and the fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each one of you kill his men, those who joined to Baal Peor. And behold, a man out of the sons of Israel came and brought into his brothers a woman of Midian before the eyes of Moses and before the eyes of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, groaning at the door of the tent of meeting. And what's going on here? Fornication, right at the tent of Yahweh. Fornication's happening. And Pincus, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw, and he rose from amidst the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Nobody had to tell him. Nobody had said no. The zeal that was in him, what was going on against the word of Yahweh, was going on in front of the eyes of these people. The zeal of Yahweh came to him. And he went in after the man of Israel into the tent room, and he pierced both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman threw her belly. So the plague was stayed from the sons of Israel. Wow. So what happened? There's a plague, just like we're seeing a plague today. And the zealousness of the priest of Yahweh stopped the plague. Praise Yahweh for that, right? And those that died by the plague were 24,000. 24,000. Interesting, right? You know, right around a little less than would have already died in this coronavirus plague. But around the same amount that died here. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, says, turn my wrath away from the sons of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, so that I did not consume the sons of Israel in my jealousy. So what does Yahweh do? I mean, in his zeal, he went in and he killed two people, right? What does Yahweh do? What is the reward? What is the reward, you know, the wages for his, what he did here. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. Wow. For killing two people, he gets forever the covenant of peace. And it shall be to him and to his seed after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Elohim and atoned for the sons of Israel. Wow. So when it comes to worldliness, when it comes to sin, are there any boundaries in Yahweh's eyes? No, Yahweh wants us to completely abstain from it. It's a serious matter. We just read in Romans 6, the wages of sin are death. And yet, for his zealousness, Yahweh gave him an eternal covenant of shalom, of peace. So, to the Laodicean out there, he has his own mind of looking at things, and he doesn't realize his mind has been perverted through Satan and the prince of the power of the airwaves, through the music, the television, the videos, the internet, through the society around him, through the social media, through reading all the likes and the dislikes, reading everybody's opinion of what they say about everything, that the Laodicean's mind has been completely perverted by all this worldliness. And he's not thinking on the things of Yahweh. And the way to get back, like I said, is with zealousness. 1 Kings 18:21. And this is with Eliyahu, right, with the priests of Baal, where the people were the same way. One way they're saying they're worshiping Yahweh, and the other way they're following the priests of Baal. And he says to them, and Eliyahu came near all the people and said, until when are you limping over two opinions, right? Limping, because they're not going strong either way. They're limping toward it. If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer a word. Why didn't they answer a word? Because they're Laodiceans. Because they're lukewarm. Because they didn't see it wrong either way. You know, whatever you say, we'll follow each way you're saying. They didn't have the zeal of Yahweh in their hearts. But this is what he's telling them. Stop limping over to opinions. If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. And if Baal is Elohim, follow him. We must take a stand for the truth and stop being lukewarm. And you know what? That's not always going to be easy. So, you know, sometimes you might see somebody in your local congregation. Maybe they're doing something wrong. Maybe they're sinning. And you don't want to go to the elder, or you don't want to get involved, or it's not my responsibility. That's the elder's responsibility. No, it is your responsibility. It's your responsibility when you see your brother in a fault to go to him. Matthew 18. Right? It's not only when it affects you, it's when you see your brother in a fault. It is your responsibility to go to that person first privately, try to share with him and restore him. And if he doesn't listen, then you have to get the elder involved. You have to get the leadership involved. But you can't let that Laodicean spirit infect the congregation. You can't allow it, because before you know it, everyone one by one will get picked off, just like this virus is doing. If you don't quarantine, the virus will spread. It's that simple. And you have to quarantine for enough time till the virus dies. You don't just quarantine for a day or two. I've seen this even at the feast. Somebody will be sick. They'll stay in their room for a day, and they're still infectious. And then they'll come back out, and you'll say, "Aren't you? Oh no, I feel better now." You know, everything coming out of their nose and coughing and everything else. And they're saying, "No, I feel better now." They think like time, like it's like a ceremonial law, like it's sunset, you know, wash, and then at sunset you wash and you're clean. Sickness is not a ceremonial law. Sickness is a real law. And it's really interesting because when President Trump came out recently and said, "I want to open up the America," you know, by the beginning of April. And he said that, you know, he said by Easter, by the second week of April. And they asked Dr. Fauci, who's the expert in all these things. And they said to him, you know, "Well, what do you think of that timetable?" And you know what his answer was? His answer was, he said, "You don't put a timetable on the virus. The virus puts the timetable. You don't put a timetable on it. The virus does." So the same way when you're sick, when you separate yourself, you don't know if that might be for one day, 2 days, or a week, or longer. And that's what we were going over when we were going over this in Leviticus. You know, the priest, after 7 days, you come to the priest and he checks you and he sees if you're still infectious. And if not, then okay. And even then, they stayed outside the camp for X amount of more days to make sure. But the virus is what makes it. So we have to see the same thing here, that these viruses are nasty. And the Laodicean virus, there's not a nastier virus than the Laodicean virus. And we have to put it out of our midst. We have to quarantine against it. Last scripture, Deuteronomy 19 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 18 says, "And the judges shall carefully investigate, and behold, if the witness is a false witness, and he has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he plotted to do to his brother, and you shall put away the evil from among you." Okay? The Bible never tells us that we have to love sin, and we have to dwell with sin, and we have to accept sin. No. That's what the sinner wants you to believe. The unrepentant sinner. And I've had people tell me this over the years, over and over and over. "Well, doesn't the Bible say we have to love the sinner?" Yeah, you love the sinner, not the sin. And you put the sin away from you. And as long as that person refuses to repent, then he has to be put away with the sin, because the sin is still in him. The sin is the virus, and the sin has to be separated. The sin has to be put away from you. So if the person repented of the sin, then of course, you welcome them back, you forget it, you put it, as Yahweh did, the east from the west, and that's the end of it. But if that person refuses to repent, then that person must be put out with the sin and also be quarantined. "And those who remain shall hear in fear, and therefore shall not add to commit any such evil among you." You must quarantine against the Laodicean spirit, because sin is contagious. Sin is contagious. So when we're looking at these here, these six symptoms, are you separated from the body and refuse to follow any leadership? Have you not separated from the world? Do you not have anything that you could think of to repent of? That you can't take correction? That you have unrepented sin in your life? And the last deadly symptom, that you've lost the zeal of Yahweh. So if you have even just one or two of these symptoms, it's serious. And now's the time, right before Passover, that you have to work on this. This is the time that you have to put it in the hands of Yahweh, and you have to get rid of it. Because even one or two of these symptoms is dangerous, because like I said, it can accelerate very quickly if you don't catch them and take care of them, then the others will come on. Do you have any of the symptoms of the Laodicean virus? Don't take a risk. This virus will bring in a spirit of doubt and a lackadaisical attitude that will destroy your spiritual life. This is not a game. This is life and death. And Satan is a roaring lion looking to get your soul. As the world is changing around us, let's make this Passover a changing point in our life. And each person has to do that individually. You know, it's not a motto. It's not a slogan. Each of us has to look in our own hearts and go in our own prayer closets and be looking at what we need to change. Let's be studying the word of Yahweh like never before. Let's be praying without ceasing. Let's put our whole heart into Yahweh's end time work. And let's be bearing fruit for his kingdom. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.